The 20th chapter. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, then the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is a really odd gospel story, starting out with a question from the Sadducees. Now, this might be a little bit more Bible study than sermon today, because I do want to unpack this text a little bit for us. Starting with the Sadducees. And all of you who went to Bible camp or ever sang a little song, "I don't want to be a sheep, I just want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a Sadducee," because they're sad, you see. Yeah. Do you know that after this gospel lesson, we never hear anything about the Sadducees anymore? They were an odd little spin-off of Judaism. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They only believed in the first five books of the Bible. So here's these guys coming up to Jesus. They've never read the Psalms. They've never read the prophets, and they're going to argue scripture with Jesus Christ. They're just full of themselves, and they think that they've got the perfect gotcha question for Jesus. Because in the Jewish tradition, if a man marries a woman and he dies, it's his brother's duty to marry the wife. And they spin this scenario into absurdity. Well, there were seven brothers and they all died. So whose is she? Now, the kinder and gentler part of myself says the question is, who's going to take care of her when she gets to heaven? The cynical part of me says, who's she going to belong to? Whose property will she be? Because that was more the vision of marriage in the day of Moses. She was property. But either way, whether the question is who's going to take care of her or whose property is she, Jesus turned it back on them. And he did it in three of the four Gospels. And I want to put this in context for us just a little bit. Because in all of the Gospels where this story is told, it's in a context. In Matthew, before this question is asked, right before the question, the Pharisees are plotting to entrap Jesus. And they ask him, should we pay taxes to Caesar? This is where Jesus says, if it belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. If it belongs to God, give it to God. We all know the end of the answer there is everything belongs to God. And so Jesus got back at the Pharisees for their silly question. And then the Sadducees asked this question. And what we don't get in our gospel today is what we see in all of the gospels where this silly story comes up from the Sadducees is right after it is this text. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this silly story is kind of a preface to Jesus laying out the greatest commandment. Love God, love neighbor. But on the way to the greatest commandment, he gets asked this question. Whose will she be? Who's going to take care of her? And I think that gives us an opportunity to talk about eternal life. You see, when Jesus talks about eternal life, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it until I die. When Jesus talks about eternal life, the verb tense is one that we don't really have in English. But the tense is now and forever. You see, when you're attached to Jesus, you are already in eternal life. Now and forever. And death is just a transition. There's another side. There's an eternity beyond. But eternal life starts when the light goes on. So the question then from this text is, what do you have now? And what is forever and what is not forever? You probably have heard that old story about the man who bargains with St. Peter. And, can I just bring some of my stuff to heaven with me? I just want to bring some stuff to heaven. And Peter's like, you're not going to need anything, but whatever. And so the man plans carefully. And he gets to the pearly gates with a bag. And the bag is filled with gold bricks. And St. Peter looks in the bag and says, I thought you were going to bring something important. These are paving stones. Because if you have any vision of the heavenly place, you know, streets lined with gold, jewels, the things we can't imagine, we don't need to take anything with us. We're not going to be the same when we get to heaven. The Bible talks about death being like planting a seed. You know, when you see a plant that's all grown to full maturity, it doesn't look anything like the seed it started from. That's eternity. That's what Jesus is trying to explain to them. In eternity, we're not going to have to worry about who's taking care of whom, because we're all being taken care of by God. Will we still have relationships? Sure. But they're not going to look like they look now. What do we have now? We have a lot of things, I think, that we're passionate about, that we want to hang on to forever. But what we have now is not going to be forever. What we have now, well, you know, we have the best of. We have our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have relationships. We hope everybody has some good earthly relationships. We have material possessions. Some have more than others. But we also have pain and division and injustice and unfairness and things that separate us. Even those who love each other, we have things that separate us. Not to mention those broader things that separate people by political division, or nationality, or race, or sexual orientation, or you name it. All the things that divide us on earth are not going to be in eternity. And so why do we let them bog us down while we are on earth, if they're not going to be part of eternity? And that's what Jesus is telling them. Eternity is going to be all different. For now, it's about love God, love neighbor. Can you keep those two things straight? And of course, those are the hardest two things to keep straight. What there won't be on the other side. There won't be war. Now, this weekend, we observe that on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, that was supposed to be the end of the war that ended all war. Did it? That's the silence we pause for our veterans. Because the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 did not end all wars. And we remember every veteran that has suffered and served and died since. Because we continue to think that war is going to bring us peace. It is Sunday morning, and we are in church. We know who's going to bring us peace. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So all those other earthly things that we strive for, whether it's an extra dollar per hour, or whether it's more earthly security, those things are all going to fade away. Whose will she belong to in eternal life? She will belong to God. You will belong to God. We all already do belong to God. And so like Paul says, this is what it is for us now. We have our eye on the prize. We are surrounded by the power of God and His Holy Spirit. Run the race with perseverance, looking toward Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Not to all those temporal things that may or may not give us a sense of security here and now, but to Jesus and only Jesus. And our opening hymn this morning said it all. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. Because we know this life is not all that we have. Whatever hinders us, whatever slows us down, whatever troubles us, those things will end. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. I'll sing God's love for me, and through all eternity I'll sing on. Because you are beloved, named, and claimed by the Holy One who is forever. Amen.